2022 delivered a lot of dramatic new video games.
Show me this god killer I've heard so much about!
I'll cut you to pieces!
Run!
I am returned to be granted audience once more.
That is a sampling of NPR staffers' favorite games of the year. Our own James Mastro Marino edited the final list, and he joins me. Hey, James.
Hey, Scott.
Okay, big picture. What in your mind was the biggest video game trend of the year?
Well, I have to go with these huge open worlds. Look, this genre is nothing new. Video games have often just dump you in a big playground and have you do what you will in it.
Yeah.
But this year, we saw it on a whole other level. Elden Ring took that formula and it paired it with that developer's trademark intense difficulty. Hmm. And even Pokemon got into the game. We didn't get just one huge Pokemon game this year. We got two. And both of them tried to take what's fun about Pokemon, wandering around, catching Pokemon, picking up stuff, battling trainers, and transmute it to a much more free-form format. Pokemon Legends Arceus, I think, did that more successfully, but lots of people love Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, despite the fact that they have a lot of bugs, and I'm not talking about bug-type Pokemon. I mean, those games can be a little rough to play.
And you played it with your little nephew.
I did, my six-year-old nephew. And let me tell you, I could get frustrated with the game's mechanics, with some of those bugs I was talking about, but my nephew just wanted to explore, splash in a river. He was having a blast.
Didn't bother him.
No, and it's not going to bother most kids, I don't think.
Yeah, okay. All right, I saw a lot of games on this list that look really prestigious. I mean, the animation is at another level, yeah?
Yes. So obviously, animation gets better year by year, more and more lifelike. You saw this in big prestige games like A Plague Tale Requiem.
I can't believe they left them to rot here.
These people look poor.
They must be from the slum outside.
Another example of this kind of game focused on story is God of War Ragnarok, which on the one hand is an intense Norse mythology epic, and the other is a very intimate story about a father and a son.
We follow your every whim.
But you don't believe in any of it.
And still, I follow. Because all that matters is that you are safe.
It's a deeply beautiful game.
Yeah. So if these games, and you've showed me a couple, they look like movies, James, are some of them great to play for those of us who have actually never held a controller before? I mean, because a lot of us want that experience.
I would say that this year has plentiful games in that category, including a game called Immortality. And the way that you experience it is that you click your way through all of these little scenes that are from three fictional films. They never were actually made, but they're set from the 1960s to the 1990s. And as you collect all of this footage, you begin to see sort of strangeness and secrets within and without it.
You don't know who I am. You don't know anything about me.
I know you.
No, you don't.
And it's all live action, real actors, real cinematography, and it's completely free to play on a phone if you have a Netflix subscription.
Yeah. Okay, well, with your help, I did load it on my phone. I still need to play it, so I'll get back to you. I know you also love smaller, independent games. What showed up on the list this year in that category?
Yeah, well, speaking of history, there was a game called Card Shark, which is set in 18th century France, where you play a card cheater playing against luminaries such as Voltaire, even up to the King of France.
Oh, I love it.
Another game, though, and this is absolutely the most James Mastromarino sort of game you could get, is called Pentiment.
Yeah.
And it's about an artist working in a 16th century scriptorium, you know, where the monks copy manuscripts by hand.
Okay.
Only there's been a murder in the abbey he works in.
Oh,
so, of course, you have to try and figure out what happened. And along the way, you make these very meaningful choices. And it's beautiful, too. It looks like illustrations from the illuminated manuscripts that are at the core of the game.
Yeah. Wow. And just a broader question for you, James, because we've talked about this offline. What is the experience you and I can get from a game that we can't get, say, from a film? Because as you're describing, a lot of games look like movies now. I go to movies. What am I going to get additionally from playing a game instead?
I think there can be a deeper investment in the world and in the story. If you feel like you are the God of War and you've been in this character's shoes, slaying monsters and battling with Norse deities, that can hit different, right? When you see that character also struggle with how he relates to his son. But there's also so many ways that games let you tell your own stories. I think about Pokemon again. The way you play these games is totally unique to you. And then when we get back to Elden Ring, Elden Ring has a cryptic and bizarre story, but in discovering it, you feel like you've accomplished something. I feel like the kind of catharsis you can get from a video game is just different than that you could get from a book, a TV show, a movie. Some of my most emotional experiences have actually come from video games.
Yeah. The experiences, the observations, the NPR game list from James Mastromarino from Here and Now. James, thanks as always.
Thank you, Scott.